This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So if you add up the total amount of time you may have watched football over the weekend, if you took no breaks and you watched all the games, the 2 from Saturday, the 3 from Sunday, you would have spent 15 hours this weekend watching football. And I would argue that most of it was bad. Most of it was not exactly awe-inspiring. And I ended up getting very, very frustrated, especially early on Sunday when Tony Romo decided to lie to all of us. That's the moment where I got really upset. As you recall, the Houston Texans bludgeoned the Los Angeles Chargers after that uneven start, and the Baltimore Ravens assaulted the Pittsburgh Steelers in a game that wasn't even as close as the final score said. And then on Sunday, you've got this Buffalo-Denver game in which, hey, Bo Nix throws a touchdown early, and you're like, great, 7-0 Denver. I thought to myself, 7-0 Denver? Final score will be 42-7. And at halftime, Tony Romo said this, and it was a lie, and it annoyed me.
This is exactly what Denver wanted. Buffalo wanted a little more wiggle room, but this is a scary situation if you're a Bills fan right now. You have a half of football possibly left in your season. Everyone expects the Bills, Josh Allen, to pull away and do this. But what everyone expects doesn't always occur in sports. Denver now has belief and confidence, Jim. That's a scary thing for an underdog. I think they believe they can win. They may have found the template. Now, I think Josh Allen and Sean McDermott are going to have something to say about that.
Yeah, though. You think they have something to say about that, Tony? I threw something at my TV. I was so disgusted by that because I knew what you knew, what everyone else knew, which is the Buffalo Bills are going to come out in the second half and they're going to snowblow you. I mean, they are going to destroy you. And they hear Tony Romo start the second half with that fake, I think, you know, Jim, they got him right where they want him. Do they? They got him right where they want him? Who in their right mind believe that horse crap?
Right. They got, because Taylor Rapp was looking in the backfield expecting a short throw, and he got beat over the top for a touchdown. That was the only offense that the Denver Broncos had in the first half, and it was basically all the offense they had on the entire day.
Tiki, so you're in the CBS. So I'm curious if this happens, because, Evan, I didn't know you were going to pull this audio. What really bothered me about that audio was what he was saying at the end of the second quarter 15 minutes earlier, which was, getting out of hand now, Bills are going to run away with this thing. And I said to myself on the couch, He's telling us all to turn off the TV. And then he starts the
I don't mind that, though, because we all can think for ourselves in terms of that. It's when you go the other way that's annoying.
But that's what I'm talking about. When he said it, I was not annoyed that he said that, but more annoyed, how could you say that, but then just 15 minutes earlier be basically telling me, it was almost like at halftime, somebody got in Romo's ear and was like, stop saying that, this game isn't over. And I don't know if that happens on broadcast, but I don't think that was genuine Tony Romo at the beginning of the third quarter.
Not really. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, I wasn't listening, so that was the before the kick commentary.
That was right before the third quarter started. They're kicking the Buffalo, where, by the way, they ran the football down their throats and made it obvious within like 5 minutes of that this game was over. Yeah. And you could either take a nap, shut the TV off, or spend time with your family.
Here would be my pushback to you, Evan. A young Evan Roberts, a young Tommy Lugar, 1998, we're watching Monday Night Raw, and Jim Ross goes to us, is X-Pac going to beat The Rock for the title? Hang on, he might. We're going to hang on. It's his job to keep the TV audience, even if we know something is going to happen.
He just compared it to professional wrestling. That's when you know
it is entertainment. No, wait, hold on a second. Sports is entertainment, too. Yeah, you're trying to keep an entertainment
audience.
But you
don't know what's going to happen.
But we do, though. We knew that the Broncos were not coming back in that game. Everybody knew that. But you got to keep the TV audience.
Yeah, I don't need people lying to me. And I think it bothered me even more because I want the Bills to lose. I said that to you on Friday. Like, if I could get one wish from this weekend's NFL action, I'd have loved to have seen the Buffalo Bills upset. But, you know, it's funny. Think about this. And this overall tells you why I think the product was so bad this weekend. Because a lot of people have different theories on why the product is bad. But to me, if let's say the Broncos upset them, let's say I got what I wanted, Evan got what he wanted, and the Buffalo Bills are upset by the Denver Broncos. That means next week we would have the Denver Broncos against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans against the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, that would be even worse.
It would suck.
That would have been worse.
It's kind of like the NCAA tournament when a 15 or 14 seed wins.
Or a 16 seed.
Or a 16 seed.
UMBC.
You're familiar with.
Yep.
When that happens,
I wear my Virginia sweatshirt.
It's cool in the moment, but then when that team has to play the following week, it's like,
they get their doors blown
off. We didn't get the best possible matchup. So the reason to me the games were so bad, and you've actually said this all season long, and I'm not sure if you picked up on the why for this weekend, is there is a huge difference between the haves and the have-nots.
As I said, and I was not referring politically, there is no middle class.
Right.
And if you're in the middle class going up against the upper class, you're going to get beat the hell up.
And that's what happened. Quite frankly, to me, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Kansas City Chiefs are the elite.
Yes.
Everybody else in the AFC are different levels of mediocre.
Yeah, you're right. And in the NFC, it's really the Detroit Lions. We'll see what Minnesota is, because they just got the crap beat out of them by Detroit, but maybe that was an anomaly, just a pressure-filled, they didn't show up. But in the NFC, it's Philadelphia, the Detroit Lions, and maybe, the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, see, to me, and I'm kind of with you, it's the Eagles and the Lions, and that's it.
Yeah, don't sleep on my Rams ticket, damn it.
And I think eventually we'll see that.
We'll find out.
But that's why Wild Card Weekend sucked. Wild Card Weekend sucked because the elite teams that were playing took on teams that were not nearly as good. So when you add teams to the NFL playoffs, combine that with the fact that there just seems to be a greater disparity between the really good teams and the not really good teams, I think you get what we got, which was bad football. And for the most part, unless you hit on your gambling bets or you're a fan of the particular teams, it was disappointing.
Yeah.
You didn't have drama until Sunday at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, the only drama was the Houston Texans was a surprise. And not that, you know, that was a good game, because it really was not a good game. But Justin Herbert threw three interceptions all year, and he threw four in one game.
They weren't all on him, but yes.
True. They all went through guys' hands. I mean, the one through Ladd McConkey's hands, it was a rocket. He just threw it to he smoked it. And Ladd McConkey's not tall enough to get that thing, hit him in the chest, hit him in his hands, and it went through. But either way, it was a surprise, so it was interesting.
And they were down 6-0.
Well, forget that. I mean, that's nothing, though, in the NFL. 6-0 is nothing. That's honestly nothing, especially early in the game. But the bigger issue was that the Chargers, who had the best defense in football, got out-defensed by the Houston Texans.
No, but you know what I argue about them? They're both mediocre teams.
Well, it's true, but we talked all year about the Chargers' defense.
Right.
But in reality, the Houston Texans' defense, sacks and interceptions, they were one of the top teams in the league.
Sure, sure.
We just didn't pay attention to it.
Right.
So I think That one was surprising because it was so the other way than what everybody expected.
The road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365, and it's a good time to remind you, Evan, that all the complaints you're having now, Tony Romo shouldn't have to sell anybody in a Ravens-Bills game.
And that's the thing. That's why, like, I'm kind of glad as we sit here on Monday that those upsets didn't happen. Because if they did happen, well, in the moment, it would have been like a short cheer of excitement, like, oh, cool, the Bills lost. A week later, we'd have to pay our debts.
Yeah.
And by paying our debts would be less appealing and playoff matchups.
By the way, Tony would have had to pay his debts.
Right.
He would not have the Ravens and the Bills.
And that is a game, we still have 6 days, that is a sexy, sexy game.
Right. I wish that was the championship game because it's the two MVP candidates.
Well, hold on a second. You wish it was the championship game?
Just because of what's at stake. Neither one of those guys have been to the Super Bowl.
I understand.
And these are two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, forget Pat Mahomes. Let's throw him out of there. Because I don't want Pat Mahomes to do it again. I know everybody wants it. I want to see the three-peat. No, I like new.
Right? Yeah, but you know what? I understand not wanting Kansas City to get there. Buffalo against...
This episode is supported by Ring. Because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Get into hockey, basketball, and more of your favorite sports with same-game parlays, live betting, and more. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards, payback, and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at UnitedHealthcare. When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baltimore next week, which we're all excited for. You know what this is? I'll give you a wrestling term for it.
What is?
It's a number one contendership game. It is the game to determine who's the number one contender this year to knock off the dynastic Kansas City Chiefs. And let's not forget this about the Kansas City Chiefs. There are not a lot of teams that have won back-to-back Super Bowls. There's a few, about 7 or 8 in the history of the NFL. The Packers, the Dolphins, the Steelers did it twice, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Broncos, the Patriots, and now the Chiefs. None of those teams
who have won back-to-back Super Bowls have gotten to a third Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The closest teams have gotten is getting knocked out in the championship game, specifically the Cowboys, the Niners, and the 77 Pittsburgh Steelers, or the 76 Pittsburgh Steelers. So think about that appeal.
Of course.
So I get what you're saying.
It's history.
But it is a number one contendership to determine who is best equipped to knock off the dynastic 15-2 Kansas City Chiefs. And that's where we'll have our fun.
The Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
I ain't going to New Orleans. But anyways, the point is, the Chiefs are interesting, but I don't think the Chiefs are one of the best team in football. I know their record says they are, but they won so many less than one score games. You know, or one score games, I should say. Some of them by less than a touchdown. And like, remember we saw that thing, if you flipped all of the one-score games in the NFL?
Yeah, yeah.
The Chiefs would have been like 2-12 or something at that point of the season. So they're good. They're not dominant. And so I guess, look, if they get there, fantastic. It'll be interesting to see. It'll be history to talk about. But I'd like to see Josh Allen do something that he hasn't quite done yet, which is get to a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson's one of my favorite players in the league. He's already won multiple MVPs. Get to a Super Bowl, right? I'd like to see that. It'd be interesting. And I know it's daunting because of the Kansas City Chiefs, but I root for chaos.
Well, you may root for chaos, and I understand not wanting Kansas City to get there, but here's what you have to admit. You don't want Houston knocking off Kansas City. Because how anticlimactic would the AFC Championship game be?
Well, no, I don't.
If the winner of Baltimore-Buffalo takes on the Texans.
But remember, you're talking about a second-year quarterback and a second-year head coach.
Yeah.
So it would be, it would feel like the changing of a guard in a sense.
Yeah, maybe, but I still want to see the Bills or the Ravens have to not go through Kansas City, but have to go to Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And as flawed as the Chiefs have been this year, because you're right, I mean, they're 15-2 and they deserve a lot of credit for that. They have not dominated. Mm-hmm. How many times they've scored 30 points this season?
One. Right?
I think zero.
Well, you're right.
I don't think they've broken 30 all year, which is almost like impossible to even comprehend.
Even the Giants did that.
Right. Everybody did that. But you'd almost need the Ravens or the Bills to go through Kansas City. So the first weekend kind of sucked. But I think ultimately we're going to get what we want, which is drama-filled, awesome playoff football. And look, the Sunday night game was very entertaining. And you know what I felt good about? I didn't walk away from Tampa Bay against Washington.
The Commanders.
Blaming Todd Bowles. I didn't. I blame Baker Mayfield. Yeah. I blame the two kind of miscommunications, the two fumbles, really. One non-fumble that was a loss on third and short that led them to have to kick a field goal.
Right.
And then I blame the fumble. Those were the two monstrous plays.
That was on the center. And I would say the other fumble that led to the touchdown was on Liam Cohen. It was just a stupid play call.
Was it the play call?
Yes. Why are you running reverse on the 15-yard line?
Mm.
Like, seriously. Just run. Go forward. We all do the same thing when you're backed up. Go forward. Don't try to get, I don't know, cute.
The worst was on the previous, not fumble, but miscue. They have second and inches, and they can't convert.
All right.
Oh, my God. And then on third down, they lose the 2 yards, which has them settle for a field goal. And it just gave Jaden Daniels another opportunity.
You don't put anything on Todd Bowles last night?
I don't put the majority of it on Todd. So, what do you put on Todd Bowles? The clock management?
I think, yeah, that mainly. Look, Baker, I think, can have that fumble. And I'm with Tiki on Liam Cohen. It was as if Todd Bowles forgot he had 3 timeouts as Washington is marching down the field around the 2-minute warning, which cannot happen. And number two, and this is something that some coaches get and some coaches don't. You have a hot quarterback on the other side. You didn't touch the ball again. And you went for the tie with 6 minutes left, and your quarterback never saw the ball
again. So you should have gone for it even after the 2-yard loss?
But this goes back. Todd Bowles has lost games like this before. I think it's about knowing your opponent.
And see, I put it on the execution. Those two plays in particular, killed them.
Yeah.
First of all, if they don't lose 2 yards on third down, they're going for it on fourth and inches.
Here's why I am forced to agree with Sean, even though...
You're forced to.
Only because...
It's like you don't want to.
Well, I don't want to because I think sometimes playing smart is better, but knowing who your opponent is. There was a stat this morning in our clip. I still get the clips from the league, and one of them, I couldn't believe it. Jaden Daniels has had multiple zero turnover, zero punt games, including last night. He's done it three times this season.
Yep.
Which is more than Brady, Mahomes, like Josh, like all the top quarterbacks combined in their careers.
That's crazy.
It's just, it's insane. And so if you're Todd Bowles, if there's one thing that sticks out, because you go back to the Giants game that they won on field goals, right, early in the season, there are games where the Washington Commanders are not going to punt the football. They are like, they are just so good because their quarterback is mobile. He can create with his legs. He's obviously very accurate. He's very smart with the football. You have to force him to not be on the field or force the ball away from him because he's not punting it to you. They didn't punt in the game.
Mm.
So if you're at that point in the game and you're like, dude, if we don't, we're not going to get the ball back.
So you would have gone for it.
100%.
Interesting.
It's under 4 minutes or at the 4 minute mark.
It was actually 41. Six. It was right at six.
Right. But it came back and they got the ball. They held the ball for the last 4:41 or something like that, right?
That was after the fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm talking about the last one.
Gotcha.
So at the end of the day, you got to realize who you're playing. And I don't think he took that into account. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's who the Commanders have been all season long.
Look at you guys, all tougher on Todd Bowles than I am. Because, I feel good.
No, but this is the second time. Remember, Todd Bowles did this. Was it the Chief game this year where he didn't go for two?
But,
he let themselves bleed dry in overtime. I just think sometimes and good for him, he's stuck in his ways, but you have to understand who you're playing.
And it didn't come back to bite him because they scored a touchdown, but before the halftime, the clock management was horrible. They had like two timeouts and they let the clock just bleed out.
I think there were multiple examples of this weekend.
I was talking about the 4th and 3.
Gotcha.
Right. Not the one before. The 4th and 3 when they were on the 14-yard line.
When they kicked the field goal.
They kicked the field goal.
Yeah.
And I get it. You got to try to tie the game, but you're likely not getting the ball back.
The execution on second.
And if you do fail, they have to go the whole length of the field and you have timeout.
Well, and that's what Washington did when they went for it on 4th and goal from the 4-yard line, failed, and then they forced the turnover.
Right. And
got the ball back, great field position, boom, Jaden Daniels does his thing.
I think coaches get stuck in their way. They don't understand in these playoff games, especially when you're playing hotter quarterbacks or hotter teams, you have to think unconventionally at times. And I thought there were other moments this weekend. Sean Payton tried with the fake punt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Drive
went nowhere, but at least he gave it an effort. And I thought on Saturday night, I think it's 14-0 at the time. It's 4th and inches. It's like at their own 40.
The Tomlin punt?
And Tomlin punts.
That was brutal.
Point, get out of your own way and understand you got to try to do something unconventional in this game, in a playoff game, or you're going to get your doors blown off.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Josh is in Smithtown. How are you, Josh?
Hey, before I get to my football stuff, just really quick, I had a friend on Friday text me, and they were texting the group chat about Mikal Bridges having a bad game, and it's like, whenever he has a bad game, he shows up, and it just made me think of you.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you know the answer to this, Josh. I've been trying to figure it out all weekend. Maybe you could help. Has a guy ever been traded for 5 first round picks and held scoreless in a game?
Shut up.
Really quickly, I know nobody cares about the Nets, but I did think Sean Marks' comments over the weekend, they don't get a lot of attention because it was the Nets, but about basically embracing the tank.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be applied to really any sport. I thought that was pretty interesting, the things that he had to say.
Now, we were talking about it in our Evan and Tiki text chat because it was alarming or interesting or great that someone was as honest about tanking as Sean Marks was over the weekend. And then last night, they put together one of the greatest tank-off games in the history of hoop between them and the Utah Jazz, in which they kept taking turns out-tanking each other, including the decisions before the game on who should play and not play.
The Nets still in the league.
Anyhow, what's your football point?
You guys were just touching upon it, and Tommy, just said it really. But, like, even before the half, Mike Evans ended up scoring a touchdown, but the clock is going, and you're hearing, like, Mike Tirico, and, Sean can see it, Tom can see it, you can see it. How can all of us see that, here's where a timeout needs to be called, but on the field, these coaches consistently seem to miss it at the end of the half or end of the game? Like, I just don't understand. I'm wondering what you think, Tinky.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they get caught in the moment. And so every time we talk to these coaches, we ask them, who's their guy in the booth? And it's really the game management coach. And I think in those moments, what he just asked about, there's too much noise happening, right? There needs to be like a kill button from that, whoever their guy is, their clock management guy, so that it kills everything else that they're hearing, and it's only him talking to them, because there's too much noise, and so you ignore it. I'm sure they're told these things, but there's other things going on that they're trying to pay attention to, and so they end up not taking the advice. that they hire someone specifically to give them that advice for. And so, to me, it's just a protocol. Like it's an execution of this valuable resource that all of these coaches have, but sometimes don't use.
Kyle is in Eatontown, New Jersey. How are we doing today, Kyle?
Not well. Another frustrating loss for the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. So, Tiki, I love your takes, man. I wanted to get your opinion on where this franchise is at. Are you a fan of Jordan Love? Do you feel like this $220 million deal was worth it?
No, it probably wasn't yet. But you know how it is with quarterbacks. You have to pay these guys, right? You have to... It sucked for the Packers because he sat for so many years. And then Aaron Rodgers leaves. He gets his chance. He looks good, so you pay him. But did he really become that much better of a player when you paid him? Now, they have the team around him. That's what's troubling about the Jalen Hurts situation. There's so much talent. Like, all of their – last year, all their wide receivers were in their first and second year, including their tight ends. But he hasn't taken the step forward, right, that you would expect. Why? Because he's still only like 26 years old. So I think there's still growth that needs to happen with him, but he's paid, and the expectation is that he's on the level with Pat Mahomes.
Here's what's crazy.
And he's not.
And I can't wait until 2036 when I can share this view, share this belief, share this passion. Jordan Love took over a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And the Green Bay Packers have responded with a 9-win year. Okay, not the greatest, but made the playoffs and upset the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody's happy.
My bad. He's 26 years old.
26. This year, they go out and win 11 games in maybe one of the greatest divisions we've seen in a long time. And yeah, they lost to an Eagle team that, quite frankly, is just better.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, the Packers were ravaged by injuries, especially by the end of that game.
And he was hurt.
And he was hurt with the shoulder issue. So you're 2 years into the Jordan Love era. You've made the playoffs both seasons, okay? You've gotten better, because okay, I would say this okay. regular season was better than last.
Right.
And we're talking about, what do we do? Is he the guy?
Well, the problem is he's paid to be the guy. It's no different than, what's his name down in Jacksonville?
Trevor Lawrence.
He's same as Trevor Lawrence. Is Trevor Lawrence worth $55 million a year? Like, is his production worth 55? Not even close. Right, is Jordan Love's worth 58 or whatever the heck he's making a year? I mean, you could argue it, but probably not. And so once the guy gets paid, you expect him to be the best of the best.
But what's not fair to Jordan Love that I think is very different than Trevor Lawrence and very different than most of these quarterbacks is he got paid after such little success because he sat for a while.
Okay.
So he's only a one-year starter before he got paid.
I hear you, but he still got paid.
I got you.
And so,
would you want to move on from Jordan Love?
Of course not.
It's crazy.
There's still so much more that he's going to grow and become, but you just said it. He got paid after one great year. And so, it's not fair, but it's the reality of it. When someone's paid very highly, you expect them to be really good. And when they're not, especially in, forget the regular season. If you're paid, you better be good in the regular season, right? If you suck after you're paid in the regular season, then what the hell are we doing?
You know,
you get paid for what you do when it matters most and more, which is in the postseason. And he was not good yesterday.
After NFL playoff weekends, Mondays, I love to listen to a certain market talk sports talk radio, like depending on what happens. So, like, for example, if the Eagles had lost yesterday, I would have been locked in on WIP in Philadelphia. They won, I have no interest in them.
Are you an adult or are you a child?
So maybe at some point I will listen to them. I did not. I could not stop listening to Pittsburgh sports talk radio because I was very curious, have they turned on Mike Tomlin? I'll play some highlights when we come back and discuss where Pittsburgh's at.
You know
with
the answer to that one.
Yeah, I do. It's like a rhetorical thing.
Right. They've been doing this for 5 years already.
We'll let you guys hear what the city of Pittsburgh has to say about Mike Tomlin. Plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we will share the details of an investigation we've been doing into a mysterious sound that you may have heard during one of the NFL playoff games over the weekend. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. I don't know if you guys noticed this. I noticed this. And it probably means nothing, but I noticed it. The New York Jets are running commercials throughout the NFL playoffs for season tickets for 2025. Do you notice that, Sean?
I'm glad you bring this up. I'm curious if you're going where I'm going.
Well, here's where I'm going. They prominently feature Aaron Rodgers. Is that where you were going?
No, I was going that they're lying to the audience.
What were they lying to the audience about?
Because they make this whole hoopla about who their home opponents are. One of those games is going to London. If I'm buying season tickets on, oh, look, there's the Cowboys. They're going to be there. And that ends up being the game in London. I feel robbed.
Yeah.
Did they announce it already?
They announced that they're hosting a game in London. They're not announcing who they played yet. But ad that he's running, they make a point of showing you all the opponents.
But okay, so here's the thing. There are 9 opponents. There are 8 home games. I already got an email from the Jets. They're giving me my money back. They said, we are going to reimburse you for the game that will not be played at MetLife Stadium. They don't know who they're facing. So, I mean, what do you want the Jets to do?
Just
not promote any opponents? You can't do that.
Why not? Because if you're a Jets season ticket holder, you should be buying Jets tickets.
Nah, I think you're parsing here. Because, I mean, look, card subject to change. Obviously, there is a risk that if you buy these season tickets, you may lose this game to London. But we honestly don't know what the game is.
Right, and you're probably fine with it.
Well, it depends. If it's the Cowboys, you're not going to be fine with it.
Why would you be so upset?
Because that's a big resale game, Teak.
Oh,
listen, if Jackie Childs from Seinfeld was a season ticket holder's... I was going to say, if Jackie Childs from Seinfeld was a season ticket holder's lawyer, they'd win that suit against the Jets. There should be a little asterisk, one opponent subject to
London. So you're advising that someone in the audience should sue the New York Jets?
I'm not advising that.
I would guess that that ad was made before they knew they were going to
London. Maybe.
I would also guess that if you pause the ad, they're probably in small print says, home schedule subject to change.
Definitely. It's
because
always subject to change.
It is subject to change based on that extra game. But no, that's not the thing that jumped out at me. What jumped out at me is that Aaron Rodgers is prominent in the commercial.
4 more years.
And who else are they going to put?
Sauce Gardner, who's in it. Breece Hall, who's in it. I mean, guys that you're more confident are going to be on the roster.
Okay, but you got 2 of those guys. Now, who else?
Quincy Williams. I mean, Olufashinu.
Did he have the kind of season that says we need to put him in the commercial?
I'm just asking, do you think including Aaron Rodgers in this commercial opens up the possibility that maybe they realize, hey, he is better for ticket sales. We are going to hold on to Aaron Rodgers.
At least you think you have a little bit of a chance.
It's interesting because
it's better than quarterback to be determined.
Well, it's better than him being caught out. Like, if he was caught out of the commercial, I'd say, wow, that's a lot. Basically, the memo has come down. Don't include him.
Terod Taylor.
He did throw 2 touchdown passes.
He looked actually pretty good.
Yeah, that jumped out at me because I saw it numerous times over the weekend, them selling tickets, which they should. Why not? You know, may as well run ads, run commercials. But they both prominently featured Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and the one last night also said first row 50-yard line upper deck available, too.
Did they really say that? Because that's what I'm waiting for. I'm second row 50-yard line upper deck.
That's exactly why I said it, Evan. I wanted to pique your interest.
Oh, thank you. No, I already reached out to the Jets. I said, when do you know if people are giving up their seats?
You're ridiculous.
When do you know? And they said, usually I think the deadline is like the end of January. So at some point at the end of January, and let's be honest, guys, people are giving up their seats. I'm just going to march right down to the first row.
I thought you had great seats.
I do. I said I'm going from second row to first row.
Oh, I got you.
First row's for my little guy because, honestly, my experience at MetLife this season was second row wasn't that bad. Like, they give you enough height from row to row that it didn't bother me. Like, there were no heads in the way. But my son is 8 years old, so when we took him, luckily there were so many empty seats, we were able to finagle around a little bit.
Oh, God.
There wasn't a head in his way. But if it's packed and there's a head in his way, especially a noggin like Moraz's,
he's got a big thumb.
That can be distracting.
Was that necessary at all?
Well, I would say of all the people on our show, you do have the biggest noggin. He's fat! Me? I didn't say that.
He just has a big head.
Yeah, 7 5/8. I mean, let's not make it seem like I'm an alien.
7 5/8?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your head size, Deke?
I have no idea.
7 1/8, probably.
You know what size your Yankee fitted is?
No.
It's definitely not 7 5/8, which is going to prove my point.
I've never looked at it.
You never gotten a fitted hat?
I have, but I just don't think I know the size.
Didn't you wear a helmet? Isn't that kind of...
No? Yeah, but just kind of, they just fit you.
It's one size fits all.
That's what it sounds like.
They put the pads in it, and they blow up the air in the helmet.
Nice.
I have
no idea, to be honest with you.
I can guarantee you this. Your head is not as big as 7 5/8. So you just proved my point. You got a big head. You got like a Jay Horowitz head. No, Jay Horowitz of the New York Mets?
Now Jay Horowitz is catching fire? Why can't you just say somebody's a big head? Why do you got to keep calling
out all these
that's
not, what, you act like it's a bad thing. Why is having a big head a
bad
thing?
Means you have a big brain. Well, not in your case.
It's not, but when you paint it as, in case somebody with you with a big noggin is in front of my kid, you're making it seem like it's a bad thing we'd sit in front of you.
It's a bad thing, yes. If there's a kid sitting behind you, it's a bad thing for someone who's really tall.
And
there's nothing wrong with being tall, but if you're really tall and you're sitting in front of a kid at a movie or a Broadway show or a sporting event, not good,
so
bro.
So what are you saying? All tall people and all people with big heads should not get good seats? Are you sort of...
No, I'm saying this is why I'm trying to get the first row.
It can be troublesome.
Yeah. That's why I'm a first row...
Snob.
Snob, yeah. Sit at Citi Field, I'm in the first row. Sit at Barclays Center, Madison Square Garden. Garden's a little different because it's like a bar stool.
Broadway, do the same thing?
Yes. When we saw Back to the Future, I made sure we got first row upper level. It's like I was going to a Jets game.
First row mezzanine.
First row mezzanine, exactly. All right. For everyone out there concerned about how Steeler fans are doing, they're losing their minds. So I put on Sports Talk Radio this morning just to see, like, what are they saying about Mike Tomlin? Because let's be honest about Mike Tomlin. As much as I love him, as much as Tiki loves him, as much as we would want him coaching here in New York, the Pittsburgh Steelers have been horrific in the postseason for the last 8 years. They don't just lose in the playoffs. They get demolished in the playoffs. I brought this up when we were making our NFL picks on Friday. They're giving up 40 points, 38 points, 35 points. Like, their defense, which year in and year out is a strength of this team,
right,
no-shows the playoffs.
Supposed to be good, giving up 300 yards to the Ravens.
Yeah, and getting completely blown out.
On the ground.
On the ground! And how much did they rush for? 25 yards on the ground?
They got outrushed by 270 yards.
That's almost tough to do. So you would think Mike Tomlin would be taking a lot of the shrapnel. Let me just give you a little taste of what I heard on our sister station, 93.7 in Pittsburgh, this morning.
Mike Tomlin now has the second longest losing streak for a head coach in the history of the NFL in the playoffs. The guy who has the longest is Marvin Lewis, and that's who Mike Tomlin has become.
Yes.
The Steelers are the Marvin Lewis Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow. That's pretty harsh.
The Marvin Lewis Cincinnati Bengals.
The Marvin Lewis that Cincinnati Bengals. Is that not harsh?
I mean, Marvin Lewis, his tenure was, what, 8 years? 10 years?
Never won a playoff game.
It wasn't as long as Mike Tomlin's, and it didn't have the consistent regular season success, obviously.
Right, he finished under 500 a bunch of times.
Exactly.
Including his last 3 years as a coach.
But he never won in the playoffs.
He's the Marvin Lewis.
That's unfair. I get the anger, but that's harsh.
All right, here's another sports talk radio host screaming about Mike Tomlin.
I'm just wondering, what the hell is the excuse to keep this guy around? What the hell is the excuse to bring this guy back?
I like Mike Tomlin.
By the way, I'm going to tell you something crazy. I think Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches in the NFL. I actually kind of understand where they're coming from. I think sometimes in sports, I really do believe this, Teague. Mm. Even though it's tough for us to see this because we're Jet and Giant fans and all we do is lose,
yeah,
there's a moment where it's just over. Where it's like, all right, it's just time to break up. And, you know, I think from afar, maybe people say that about Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees. It's probably a good comparison.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I love Mike Tomlin, and I would love Mike Tomlin coaching my football team, I listen to hours of Pittsburgh Steelers fans saying things like that and ranting and screaming. And I kind of get that for them. It's just over.
I wonder how long it takes to get to that point. Meaning how many consecutive winning seasons and then failing in the postseason does it take to get to that point?
Ask a Yankee fan.
The Yankees are different.
Baseball, is it, though?
Baseball's a different grind.
But don't you think the attitude towards Brian Cashman is very similar towards the attitude towards Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, but, I mean, I think in baseball, if you're inferior, meaning the other team is better, you're gonna lose 60% of the time, 70% of the time. Whereas in football, you can kind of out-coach another team or another coach for a game and find a way to win it, right? You know your quarterback isn't good enough. You know that it's a real challenge to stop Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, but I'm going to figure out a way to out-coach him for a game. And even though we're supposed to lose, we're going to find a way to win. Like, you can do that in football. You can't really do that in baseball. Right? If you're that much worse than the other team, they're just going to beat you 60, 70% of the time. Football, you can out-coach your opponent.
No, and I think Mike Tomlin, to his credit, like, they won 10 games this year. If he's not the head coach and it's an average coach, they probably go 6-11.
I agree.
Like, I think he's that good of a head coach, but I understand why after such a long time you may say it's not that you're a bad head coach, because calling Mike Tomlin a bad head coach is stupid. That's obviously not true.
Yes.
It's just that maybe after all of these years, going all the way back to 2007, maybe it's just time. But here's the thing that Steeler fans have to realize. He's not going anywhere. There's a report out of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette from yesterday, immediately, right after that loss, saying the Steelers are not moving on. They're not trading him. They're not firing him. So this is just fan conjecture. This is just people talking on sports talk radio. And it is very similar to what we do around here about Brian Cashman. He's not getting fired.
They were pretty good.
But it doesn't stop people from calling sports talk radio saying, fire this guy, get rid of him, he's terrible. And if you aren't a Yankee fan, you say, how is he terrible? You guys are good every year. Well, there comes a point where being good isn't good enough.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. That's all it is.
Yes.
Being good isn't good enough.
You know what I think it comes down to, too?
What's that?
Forget the Steelers. The Steelers aren't going to move on from him. And I understand why they wouldn't. They are consistently good.
Right, because who are you hiring that's going to be better?
Right. I mean, that's a major question. They've only hired three head coaches in the last 100 years. The real question is, when does Mike Tomlin say, I'm done with you? I'm done with sports talk radio bashing me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm done with this place. I'm out to go show I can go somewhere else and prove I'm one of the best coaches on the planet. So I'll make you a long-term prediction. Mike Tomlin is obviously not being traded or fired. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. But at some point, they're going to break up. That breakup will be initiated by Mike Tomlin. Write that down,
too. No, I believe that.
You like that?
Right. At some point, he's going to want to either he doesn't want to coach anymore. He's getting burned out by this because he's been doing this for a long time as a coordinator. No, only for a coordinator for a year, right? In Minnesota, he was there for
He was only there for 1 year as a coordinator. But
prior to that, he was at Tampa. That's how my brother was tight with him, and obviously I got to know him as well.
He started coaching, by the way, in 1995 at VMI.
Yeah, VMI.
As a wide receivers coach.
Wasn't he at William & Mary? No, he played at William & Mary.
Yeah.
Because I played against him in college.
How about that?
And then, obviously, he made his way to the NFL. He was in Tampa for a little bit, D.C. for a year. And then shocked everybody getting a head coaching job, I think really on his first try, trying to get a head coaching job, and has not had a losing season since.
Right.
So it's like a great and an epic story, but at some point, you just get burned out of doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, and look, we can use our own city as an example. Joe Torre, it was just over at some point.
Yeah.
Tom Coughlin, it was just over at some point. We can go back further. Casey Stengel, it was just over at some point.
In spite of the success.
Right.
It's just over.
It just ends. And this is the first time as an IFO I say this. Because I always love eavesdropping on sports talk radio when a team gets knocked out. This is the first time as an IFO where I hear the Steeler fans talk about Mike Tomlin and I say, okay, maybe it is time. Because last year, a year before that, I'd say they're a bunch of selfish idiots and they don't know good coaching. But while he is a good coach, I also understand, like, there are just moments where it's like, all right, we should move on.
Right.
And I don't think that franchise will ever want to move on, but I think Mike Tomlin's going to want to move on. And here's what sucks if you're a Jet fan, you're a Giant fan. We're just going to miss the train. Like, the Jets are going to hire a head coach. And maybe it's next year. It's the year after that. Tomlin will be available, and it won't be that cycle for the Jets or Giants to get him. Because he'd be a great coach in this town.
Of course.
But he'll end up somewhere else. He'll be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan.
2030. That's another long-term prediction.
2030?
Yeah.
Canales looks like he's got the goods, man.
Yeah, it's not going to end well. Too many playoff losses in the first round.
Is that right?
Yeah. Let's go to Marty in Hoboken. What's up, Marty?
Hey, guys, they did a poll in the Pittsburgh paper today. 96% of the people said it's time to move on.
Wow. 96. Holy crap.
96%. And that was embarrassing the other night. He's a defensive coach, and he's got his hands all over the defense, you know, every year. And they couldn't figure out a read option, like a high school offense. They let Jackson go around the corner every time. They tackled Henry. It's embarrassing. And these non-losing season is a national talking head type thing. I'd rather lose a couple seasons, get some draft capital. Cower went four and twelve. He had two or three losing.
No, he did. Marty, he did have some losing.
Marty,
seasons.
I love that take.
We could use a couple of losing seasons
because we need some ballers. It's awesome.
That streak that he has of being above 500 does remind me of the Yankees. Mm. And it reminds me of a discussion we had last year when the Yankees finished above 500, and most Yankee fans would yell at you because you said, hey, guys, it's a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
And Yankee fans would say, we're better than this. Who cares if we win 83 games? It's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Like, of course it's an incredible streak. It's very impressive. But when you're in the middle of it and you have such high standards the way Yankee fans and Steeler fans have, you're like, it's not good enough. And one point he made that's really true about Mike Tomlin, this streak began when they lost the AFC Championship game to the Patriots back in 2016, where they've lost all these playoff games. They have given up 36, 45, 48, mm-hmm. 42, 31, and 28 points in each of these games. And every one of these years, the Steelers are supposed to be a good defense.
Yeah,
but, and yet in these playoff games, Teak, they're getting bludgeoned.
But you're also, if the opponent matters, it's hard to look at it that way because we're talking about a series of years, you know, successive years, because it's been, what, six in a row that he's lost in the first round? I forget what the exact number is.
It's five consecutive years in the first round, but it's a six-game losing streak dating back right. to that championship game.
Exactly. So, but look at who they're played this year specifically. Forget the previous seasons. The Baltimore Ravens rushed for 3,200 yards this year. 3,200 yards.
No.
I'd say they're pretty good at it.
299, though.
But I'm saying they're good at running the football.
They are.
I don't care who the opponent is. And you just... Mitch, right? It was his name. He's right. They couldn't stop the zone read, but who can? When Derrick Henry's on and he's nimble and he can move around your initial tackle and then go for 30 yards and a touchdown, or Lamar Jackson decides to bait you by sticking it in his gut and pulling it and running around the other side of it, it's really hard to contain that. Because guess what? He can throw the ball, too. Threw for 4,000 yards and 41 touchdowns.
I think it's more than...
It's easier said than done to stop what Baltimore does.
No, I agree. I think it's more than just losing to the Ravens the way they did. I think it's the whole kit and caboodle.
Oh, I agree. But, I mean, he specifically brought up the Ravens. Ravens' offense is one of the best offenses in football.
Yeah.
Like, the only time they've looked bad is when they've done it to themselves. Like Lamar Jackson fumbles, or a ball goes through one of his receiver's hands and it gets intercepted, or, I don't know, he holds onto the ball too long and takes a bad sack. Like, that's how the Ravens have stopped themselves, and it's how they've lost some of their games. We actually called one. We called the Raiders game. Somehow the Las Vegas Raiders beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Crazy.
How the hell does that make any sense?
Mm.
They beat themselves.
Yeah.
And so unless they do that, the Ravens are a hard team to beat.
More of your calls, plus two questions we need to answer coming up shortly. Number one, has Tiki Barber ever read a book on the sidelines of an NFL game? And we will give you an investigation into a mysterious sound that was heard during one of the playoff games.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Grad school is a big move. Your student loans should keep up. With College Ave student loans, graduate students get flexible repayment options, competitive rates, and a quick, easy online application. You stay in control from application to payoff Make a smarter choice for your next degree and pay for grad school with confidence. Head to collegeav.com and apply today. That's collegeav.com. One more time, that's collegeav.com.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a best man speech, but getting one from some random plus one.
I am honored to be standing here today, also confused and a little hungry. Does anyone want to switch entrees? Pretty sure I checked beef.
You wouldn't settle for just any speech, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.